Small Business Spoonfuls is a weekly Q&A with Lisa Smith and Mason Merrill for questions you have about running your business. This podcast is sponsored by HelpDeskSuites.com. You are a busy employer? We are your employment law compliance help desk. Visit HelpDeskSuites.com to find out more about us and become a member today. And now, here's your hosts, Lisa Smith and Mason Merrill.
Welcome to another episode of Small Business Spoonfuls. I'm Lisa Smith.
And I'm Mason Merrill.
And today we're talking about the FMLA.
Oh boy, this one sounds fun.
Yeah, it's actually going to be sort of a scary one because this was one of a situation that a member of ours wrote in with. And she said basically they're going through this problem with three intersecting laws.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so this is what we call the devil's triangle.
Okay. Kind of like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. A lot of people call it the Bermuda Triangle, too. So you could really call it either one. And basically, it's where these three laws intersect. And like with the Bermuda Triangle, sometimes you fly in, but you don't fly out. So anyway, what we want to look at is which law takes priority over the other ones. And where do we even begin when we have FMLA, workers' comp, and the ADA all at the same time?
Okay, so where would you begin with that?
Well, you want to begin with FMLA, really, because this is the paperwork that has to be done. And, of course, this is where they are job protected. Now, you're going to also really be beginning with workers' comp too, because the person is going to have gone to the doctor and this was determined that it is an injury that occurred at work and it's going to be treated and so forth. So those two guys kind of run together.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Yeah. And so workers' comp, though, will give, you know, money toward paying bills and income replacement and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where FMLA just does job protection only.
Okay. Gotcha.
So we want to kind of look at both of those together. Now, the ADA specifically in this situation doesn't require paperwork, although down the road we might institute some ADA medical exams and things like that. But right now, all we have to do is just be conscious of the fact that the person is undergoing something that is disabling them from work and so forth. And we're just kind of being conscious of that right now.
Okay. Well, that's good. So you kind of couple the two together and then you handle the FMLA part of it. Is that what you do?
Yeah, basically. So once we've got workers' comp handled and we've got the FMLA paperwork started, we know that the person is qualifying and we're running all of these together, we're going to rock along pretty easily at that point. But what happens quite often is then we have, like, maybe we have vacation or sick time or paid time off or, you know, something like that that is sitting over here as well. Maybe we have a state requirement to have a state version of the FMLA.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe that's paid, maybe that's unpaid. So now we have to go in and we have to start working with these intricacies as well and kind of wrapping them all together to make sure that we're following those laws.
Gotcha.
Now, that's hard to talk about on a podcast because every state is different.
Yeah.
And so some will have, you know, more stringent laws than others. But the thing is that we don't want to forget about the state level laws.
Yeah, gotcha. So you can't basically just generalize those state level laws. You have to look into what your state requires.
Exactly.
And then go from there.
Exactly. The other thing that we want to remember is that if we have some vacation or paid time off or something that's sitting there, a lot of times employers will get that wrong because we're accustomed to running that alongside FMLA. Since FMLA is unpaid, we run the paid leave alongside it,
right,
concurrently with it. But here we go. Now we have a monkey wrench because we've got the workers' comp wage replacement coming in. And according to workers' comp laws in every state I know of, the law says that you can't be drawing more than what you would have normally made.
I see.
So let's say you make $1,000 a month and workers' comp is paying you $667 of that. So if you have all of this paid time off sitting over here, you can't take full days of paid time off.
I see.
Then you'd be getting like paid a full day and two thirds or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
For all of your days that you're counting. So you can't do that. But what you can do is take a little bit of the paid time off, like a third of the day, and put against the 2/3 that workers' comp's paying, and now you have full days.
Yeah, you have like an even playing field there.
Exactly. And so for HR folks and payroll folks, what that means is that we have to really keep good records.
Okay.
And not just say, well, the policy says that if you take 3 hours off, you get docked for the full day of PTO. Maybe your policy says that, but in this case, you would be caught in the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay. Yeah.
And you would be going down fast because we can't do that in this situation.
I see. Well, I don't think we've stressed enough on this podcast about records, like every episode.
We talk about record keeping and everything every time, don't we? But so anyway, I know that some of you have more questions than what we can answer on this podcast. So, you know, please feel free to write in to us, support@helpdesksuites.com if you're one of our members. Now, if you're not one of our members, write in to us anyway. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be on the priority list, but we will try to work our way back around to you. And if you haven't checked out our website, please come and do helpdesksuites.com. We definitely would love to have you as a member.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as a member, you get priority support. So,
Yeah. So with this kind of Bermuda Triangle, how often would a person run into this? Is this a pretty rare thing or is it just kind of situational types of things?
It's really situational and it's actually not rare. It just really kind of depends on the size of your business. Mm-hmm. It's a numbers game. So the more employees you have, the more likely this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're in construction or you're in like a heavy lifting industry or, you know, a lot of mechanical stuff, you might have people getting hurt more easily than if you run an insurance agency where everyone sits at a desk.
Right.
You know, so the chances of them all intersecting together will just depend on a lot of factors.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's good to know. So I guess the main thing about this type of situation is just to be educated on the matter and think about it ahead of time before something can happen and just know what you're going to have like a plan and almost like an action plan in place of what to do.
Exactly. You are dead on.
Okay, great. Well, I think that wraps this one up and we will get into another subject next week.
Yeah, so I'm good. Thanks, Mason, for your input today. And until we see you guys again out there in podcast land, I'm Lisa Smith.
And I'm Mason Merrill.
Be audit secure.
To find out more about us, visit helpdesksuites.com/podcast. Also, don't forget to rate, subscribe, review wherever you get your podcasts, and tune in weekly for new episodes.